Well, it is great to be here this morning. Great to see those of you who are in the audience visiting with us. Thank you for being here. And we're continuing a study on the law of God, which He gave to Israel through Moses. We began this study by making the observation that this particular law was given to the nation of Israel as a centerpiece or a part of the covenant that God made with Israel. We talked quite a bit in our Bible class this morning about covenants, about dispensations, how God has dealt with man in times past. And the law of God is certainly part of that. We've also observed that this is not the covenant that we are a part of. If we are not a part of this covenant, but instead the new covenant which God had promised, then these laws in and of themselves are not our standard of authority. We've made that point several times. However, we've also pointed out, and we've tried to emphasize, that since this law, this covenant, has been given to Israel, even though it is not particularly for us, we understand that the one who gave this law, his nature has never changed. Thus, there are many things given in the law through Moses that are also applicable to us. God's nature has never changed. God's law has adapted as time has gone by. And that's the idea of dispensations that we talked about in Bible class. His dealings with man has changed. And now, today, we are under the law of Christ in the covenant that was established through Christ. And we too have law, and we must submit to that law. There are principles behind every law that God gave to Moses. He didn't just give these things to the people of Israel for them to jump through the hoop so He could laugh instead of in heaven, just clap and say, good job. Or when they failed, just destroy them. That wasn't the purpose. Each law had a reason behind it. In fact, one of the things that we're talking about in Bible class this morning, God's revelation as it began during the patriarchal dispensation, He revealed what He wanted man to know, and then as the law of Moses was revealed, He revealed more to man that He wanted man to know as far as what God wanted them to do. But you know something else, and I think this is a very important point. Through the process of revelation, not only did God reveal to man what He wanted from us, He revealed more and more and more about Himself to us. And under the new covenant, we can know so much more about God. And things are so much clearer in regard to His nature, His holiness, His sovereignty. Now, the law of Moses did require things of the children of Israel that are also applicable to us. We pointed out, you shall have no other gods before me. Number one of the Ten Commandments. Is that still true? You shall not make for yourself a carved image. My friend, idolatry is still wrong. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I think that still applies. Well, I know it does. Now, this fourth one, we've all have already dealt with this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We pointed out that this Sabbath day, this rest day, was a figure of something that was achieved in Christ. And we now have our rest in Christ. Although there are many lessons and principles that we can learn and understand from the Sabbath law. Honor your father and your mother. By the way, young people, since we presented that lesson, have you been doing that? You shall not murder. We pointed out that this law violates the law of love. And not only does the New Covenant forbid murder, it also forbids hatred. And John said, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. You shall not commit adultery. And last week we talked about that Jesus went even further. Do not even look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart. So, we've been through all of these things, and now this week we're going to be looking at two things. You shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And I want to tie these two together because they have something in common with each other. Both of them deal with a particular principle that is so important today because it is a principle that has been kicked out the door in our society. I want us to think about that. In Exodus chapter 20 and verses 13 through 17, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not steal. All of these violate the law of love. You shall not steal violates the law of love as well. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. That also violates the law of love, doesn't it? In Leviticus chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7, in regard to stealing, notice what was written by God. He says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what he has delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins." Now, I want to say to you, all of these things are related to this idea of stealing. And under the law of Moses, God is making this point, okay, you lie to your neighbor about what's been delivered to him for safekeeping, so you're keeping something that you shouldn't be keeping, and you're lying to him about it. You say, "I lost that," but you didn't. Or about a pledge, or about a robbery. You're lying about something. You've made a promise that you're not keeping. Well, you're actually stealing from something that which you have promised to them. And extortion is wrong under the old covenant. And if you find what was lost, remember, we have that old saying, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. What if you find a $100 bill in the store? Let's say you're at Walmart, and there's a $100 bill laying there on the floor, and you pick it up. What do you do with that? Do you put it in your pocket and walk out? In fact, as you're walking out, there's an announcement that comes over the loudspeakers. If you found a $100 bill, someone has lost it. Would you please return it to checkout number one? What do you do about that? Or any one of these things that a man may do, which he what? Sins. It goes on in verse 4, "Then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering." So the idea of repentance also included the idea of returning what one had taken that was not rightfully his. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 11 through 37, he goes on, he says, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning." That is, pay those whom you employ for a particular work. Don't keep it from him. Pay him on time. "And you shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, in weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. Your measurements must be true." We need to do what's right in regard to business dealing. Our products that we sell, or our whatever we produce, and we weigh it out to sell, we need to make sure that we're using proper balances and weights, and the product needs to be quality, what is promised to be sold. Not just products, but also services. When we're hired to do a job, do we get by as cheaply as we can? We promise a first-rate, first-class job, and then we skimp on materials, etc., etc. In Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, we have some more consequences of stealing listed in Exodus 22 and verse 1. If a man stole an ox or a sheep and slaughtered it or sold it, he had to repay 5 for 1. Ouch. If a thief was killed in the process of robbing somebody, if the homeowner caught him and killed him, no guilt for that. The thief was to make full restitution. And if he couldn't, he was to be sold. If the stolen property was found in his hands, then he had to repay that double. That's justice, isn't it? What you are taking from one person, that's found in your hand, then you have to give that back, plus give him back what you thought to steal from him. Pay him double. Justice. You shall not steal. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 23, the children of Israel, there were various sins that they were rebuked for by the Lord, and this is one of them. Companions of thieves, everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. Cheaters. Ezekiel 22 and verse 13. I beat my fist at the dishonest profit which you have made. You a cheat, if you're a scoundrel in business, you think God still has the same attitude about it? By the way, this beating of the fist, what do you think that might imply? Have you ever been angry and pounded your fist against something? This demonstrates God's anger. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 17 or 27, are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. God hates those things. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 29, used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and though wrongfully oppressed the stranger. How did they oppress them? By taking from them what was theirs. All these things are wrong. Now, under the New Covenant, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that stealing is still wrong. This is another one of those things that has always been wrong and always will be wrong. Ephesians 4, verse 28, him who steals, let him steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands, that he may give to those who have need. Work. Don't steal. In 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 10, what about those who steal? Thieves. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. Theft is condemned. Robbery is condemned. Extortion is condemned. Pilfering. All of these things center around one major character flaw, if you will. And it's called dishonesty. Dishonesty. People who are not honest will cheat others that they may get from them what they selfishly want. And so we steal, we rob, we extort, we embezzle. The idea is we must respect the rights of others. We must be honest stewards. People that can be trusted. A thief cannot be trusted, can he? Would you let a thief take care of your bank account? Why not? We must respect the property rights of others. Now, we can be guilty of stealing in various ways. Just like as we read in some of those Old Testament passages, we can take pay for work not done. I used to do construction, and I've told similar stories before. I was a foreman. And I would go from job to job to job. And usually when they saw me coming, they would get up and they would get to work. But there was one fellow in particular. Didn't matter whether I was there or not, because he was the boss's son-in-law. And he knew he wasn't going to get in trouble. And I tell you, when my boss did leave a job site, he would sit down. He wouldn't do another thing unless he absolutely had to. He would take all day off. But I guarantee you he got paid at the end of the week, because he would turn his time card in and he would report all the hours that he did not work as being worked. Taking pay for work not done. Have you ever done that? Have you ever loafed off and not done what you should have done? That's stealing. Not paying our bills. We've entered into an agreement with someone. We've bought something, purchased something, or we're buying services. Do we pay our bills on time? When we do not pay our bills, then we're not paying what we have promised, and we're taking from someone what is rightfully theirs. Not paying for work done. James 5 and verse 4 talks about those laborers who were not being paid. Not respecting copyright laws. I think that's a biggie. Downloading pirated movies or games or music or... Think about that. Deliberately cheating or taking advantage of somebody else. All these things are wrong. In fact, I think most all of us know these things are wrong. We know it. The question is, what is God's attitude about it? I think we saw in the Old Testament that He beat His fist at those who cheated and stole. And I am positive that His attitude is still the same. You shall not steal. Jesus Christ emphasizes the need to be honest, people of integrity, people that can be trusted with the possessions of somebody else. Does that describe you? Is that the type of character that you have? Paul says that those who practice such things will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We are people who are to work. We are to work hard. We are to render to those to whom we have given our pledge to work, our labor, our investments, our exchanges, our love, gifts and offerings. Those are means of appropriate means of exchange. If we have not received in one of these ways, it is stealing. By the way, gambling is a form of stealing too. And Jesus said regarding thefts and adultery and murder, where do those things come from? From the heart. There's a problem with a person who steals. I was watching a movie the other night. There was this elderly lady. She was on a vacation in Greece. They were on a tour. And she was a kleptomaniac. And she would go from shop to shop and she would steal things. And she was a very good pickpocket too. And eventually she was told by the tour guide, because the tour guide knew that she was doing it, because they actually had to start the bus up real fast and run, because this guy was calling for the cops and the cops were chasing the bus down the road. She just said, "You're going to have to quit that." You know, it was presented in such a way that this was kind of cute, kind of funny. This elderly lady was an expert pickpocket. And we're supposed to laugh at that. It's not funny, is it? It's not funny. It is a matter of the heart. It demonstrates that someone is dishonest. And it is a violation of the law of love. When we take from someone else what is rightfully theirs, it demonstrates we don't care about them. So, We need to realize that these things are wrong. But yet people make excuses quite often. In a book by Dr. Laura Schlesinger, a book entitled The Ten Commandments, she gave these excuses that people often make for stealing. Well, I didn't know it was hot. You receive stolen merchandise. You buy it. It's really cheap. You know that this person doesn't, he's not an authorized dealer of any kind. And this product is awfully cheap. And you get stuff from him cheap all the time. Do you ever stop and wonder where he's getting his stuff? I didn't know it was hot. Ignorance does not justify the act. Or they lost it. It's their mistake. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. We don't try to find out who owned it. We find something, too bad. Or it's only fair. I deserve it. They deserve it. I deserve it because I've been working all these years to take a few extra dollars. It's only fair. Look at all the things I've given this company. Or they're not paying me like they ought to pay me anyway. I deserve more. It's only fair. Or it's not hurting anyone because they've got plenty of money. They can afford it. They're rich. Or I didn't take anything really from them. Yes, I downloaded their music or their movies. Yes, I got it and it was theirs. But they've got enough money anyway. They're rich. I didn't take anything from them that they missed. Does that justify it? Does that make it right? Or even plagiarism. Nothing wrong with borrowing material that you have the right, the permission to borrow. But when you're turning in test papers or you're turning in material that you're supposed to do for school, or you're preaching a sermon or teaching a Bible class, plagiarism. Just copy somebody else's material and present that material as if it were your own. It's not hurting anyone. You're not actually taking from them. But, you're stealing ideas. And we can steal in a lot of different ways. We can take what is not ours to take and use it as if it were our own, giving misinformation or information regarding our source. It looks like we've done all the work and we haven't. And so we need to think about these things. Are we taking what is not rightfully ours? It's just business. That's what business people do, isn't it? We steal from each other. It doesn't make it right. We need to be honest people. Honest in business. And we need to do what we ought to do to get what we have. That is work. That is to be people who are caring and giving so that we can work and give to others instead of take. As a Christian, we are to be honest, we are to be trustworthy, we are to be dependable, we are to be caring, and we are to be giving. And parents, we need to teach our children while they're young what is right and what is wrong, including this idea of stealing. We need to teach them these principles. We need to talk to them about being honest. I was reading a book the other day, and there was a story about this man who had a young son, 8 or 9 years old, and the teacher at school had a bag of cookies on her desk. He wanted some. So while she wasn't looking, he stole the cookies. He hid them and he ate them. And somebody in the class ratted him out. And he got sent to the principal's office. The principal calls the father. Usually what happens is the principal will call the mom or the dad, and the principal will get in trouble because he's found the kid and the kid's done something wrong, and the parent blames the teacher and the principal for it. But not this dad. This dad said, "Sir, I want you to throw the book at my son." So the principal said, "Okay." So he expelled him for one day. And the day that he was at home, you know the old adage, okay, you get a spanking at school, you're going to get another one when you get home. Well, that's what this dad did. He had a list of chores that would take that child all day long to do, plus some. And then after that, you know, all the chores were done, and his brothers and sisters came home from school, he called his son in and said, we've got to go somewhere. So they go to the store, and they buy flour and chocolate chips and whatever else it takes to make cookies. And takes him back home and makes that son make up all these cookies. Enough for the whole class plus some. So he makes the cookies and he bakes them and he packages them. And the next day he takes them to school and apologizes as the dad standing outside the door. He made his son go in and apologize to the teacher, apologize to the class, and then give the cookies to everybody. Now, do you think that had a lasting impression on that young man? Parents, we need to teach our children the importance of being honest. Don't take what's not rightfully yours. Respect the property rights of others. Now, the second thing that we're going to look at this morning is this idea of not bearing false witness against our neighbor. In Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, God says, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother, so you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot." Okay, you've got a false testimony. False witness. He is saying that this fellow did something wrong. He's accusing him of murder. The witness is found to be false. What would it do to that false witness? If he was wanting this other person put to death for his murder, then what was to be done to him? That, by the way, is the context of this eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. One who gives false testimony, what he desires to be done to his neighbor or his brother will be done to him. Kielan Dillich has an interesting comment about this command, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." To answer or give evidence against a person in general, to consciously give utterance to falsehood. From this it is evident that not only is lying prohibited, but false and unfounded evidence in general. And not only evidence before a judge, but false evidence of every kind, by which, according to the context, the life, married relation, or property of a neighbor might be endangered. So we're not just talking about people who are sitting in a courtroom. The idea of giving false testimony against anyone under any circumstance, to lie about another, to bring harm into another person's life because you have told a lie about that person. In Exodus 23 and verse 6, "You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute." You know, it has always been a problem in society. where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And one of the reasons why that is because the rich pervert the judgments against the poor. And they take from them so that they can remain rich. Kings and princes and nobles of history have done that. But you shall not pervert the judgment of your poor. In Exodus 23 and verse 7, keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Kill the innocent and the righteous. Yes, there are people who are accused of crimes that are innocent. And there have been people falsely imprisoned and falsely put to death because of false testimony. Leviticus 19 and verse 11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. In Leviticus 19 and verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. So any act in which we pervert or twist judgment for the harm of another is wrong in any setting. In Psalms 101 in verses 5 through 7, verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. It gives you God's attitude towards this sin. In verse 7, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Liars, slanderers, God hates. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, whoever spreads slander is a fool. And in Proverbs 11 and verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. And by the way, bearing false witness, the idea is that we're telling something that is not true, but does that give you the right to go out and tell everything that you know about somebody else, that even though it may be true? No. In the context, we're talking about things which hurt people. So that even would apply to these things that we should not be telling about somebody else. A friend, one who is faithful, conceals a matter. That's not talking about covering up things that should be revealed. It's talking about not spreading rumors and gossip about somebody else that would hurt their reputation unduly. In Proverbs 6 and verse 16, the Lord hates a lying tongue. Proverbs 5 and verse 6, you shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Proverbs 12 and verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So we've seen God's attitude towards stealing, and we see God's attitude towards lying. He hates it. In the Gospel, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, we looked at verse 28 a few moments ago, but verse 31, we're told again that we are to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Any attempt to hurt someone else, whatever that may be, that includes the bitterness that prompts it, the wrath that may motivate it, the anger that may move you to say something against someone that will bring them harm, and the clamor, the desire to harm, the malice that's there. So, put all these things away from you. Jesus and the New Covenant does get to the heart of the matter. Where do these things come from? Where does false witness or lying about someone else come from? It comes from hatred, anger, wrath, bitterness. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, these things are wrong. Always wrong. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Those who are unloving, here again we have the root of the problem. If you don't have love in your heart, if you are unforgiving, then you'll perhaps attempt to destroy somebody else. despisers of that which is good, for sure. In James 4, verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? That is to condemn. That is to seek the condemnation of another and to speak evil of another. We need to be careful how we use our tongues. And even more so, we need to be careful about the condition of our heart that would allow such things as that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So we take the Word of God into our heart after we've gotten rid of these attitudes of harm, and we take the Word of God and we grow and we develop a new attitude. That is an attitude of love, of concern and caring about the well-being of other people. Let's lay aside all intent to harm, malice, all deceit, dishonesty by which we attempt to harm others, and hypocrisy. In fact, yesterday on Facebook, I posted a statement by John Wooden. We should not be so concerned about our reputation as our character. Because our reputation is what other people think we are. Our character is who we really are. We need to be more concerned about our character, don't we? About who we really are. And of course, when we conform ourselves in thinking to the principles found in the Scripture, specifically in the New Covenant, we become people who love God and love others, then there will be no room for these other things. Stealing or lying and bringing harm to others with our mouth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, Paul says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love suffers long and is kind. When a person has love in his heart, is he going to try to destroy someone else and bring harm to them by lying about them? Of course not. He's not going to be guilty of evil speaking against another to bring them harm, to ruin their reputation. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We need to demand truthfulness in all areas of our life. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 says, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And if we, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ, and you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul tells us there that we're to be imitators of God as dear children. If we are imitating God and we're imitating Christ, then we're not going to be wanting to hurt other people. We want to help them. We want to be just and we want to be fair with others. And we will handle things fairly. We need to be trustworthy people. Even though honesty sometimes hurts. You know, I've always tried to teach both Michael and Brandon that if you do something wrong, fess up. Admit it. Be honest. And things will go much better on you if you're honest. I was reading again a story yesterday afternoon about a couple of young students who... They did something wrong, and they were the only people. They had gone to a function, a school function, And almost the whole class was engaged in this. They were drinking at a school function. And it was told, and all the students came in and they were drilled. Were you involved? And they all said no, even though they were. There were two children that admitted we were involved. We weren't the only two, but we were involved. They were expelled from school for the rest of the year because they were honest. And all the kids that were dishonest about it, nothing happened to them. In fact, one of the students that was expelled was to be the valedictorian and give the speech at graduation. And they were not allowed, those two students were not allowed to walk on graduation and receive their diploma. Do we show proper regard in our society for those who are honest? Do we reward honesty? Or do we tend to reward dishonesty? We need to be honest even though it may hurt, and society may not recognize that as a good thing. We need to be people of honesty and integrity. And by the way, one of the young ladies that was suspended and expelled and did not get to graduate in public, she did go on to college. She always took a strong opinion of honesty, and she kept that with her, and she turned into something because she was honest. You know, lying is harmful to self and to others. It demonstrates a character flaw. And it hurts not only the other person, but it hurts you. Perhaps even more. Healthy relationships require trust. If you cannot be trusted, then how can you ever have a good, healthy relationship with somebody else? And we need to be honest in all of our dealings with others so that we can be respected in the community. Again, not the hypocritical concept. Don't just do it for a show. Be honest, genuinely. Be concerned with your character more than your reputation. And we must be honest with the Word of God. Be honest with the Scriptures, with the truth. There are too many today who aren't. There are preachers in pulpits all over this land who are not honest with the Scriptures. We need to be honest people. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God's Word and honest with God. Honesty is always the best policy. No question about it, even though it may sometimes hurt. Be truthful. Be honest. In Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus says in Luke's account of the parable of the sower, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." My friend, we decide what kind of heart we have. Are we going to be honest with the Scriptures, with the Word of God, and receive the truth and seek the truth? Those with honest and good hearts will hear the Word of God. They will obey it. In Acts 17 and verses 11 and 12, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Be like those Bereans. Look for the truth. Search it out. And when you find it, follow it. Obey it, hold on to it, and then teach others about it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter had just preached a sermon to these Jews who were responsible for putting Jesus to death. And Peter made the accusation, "This same Jesus whom you have crucified." There were honest and noble people in that audience because they responded to Peter's charge this way. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Are you honest with the Scriptures? Are you willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and follow it? In James 1, verses 21 and 22, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." But he goes on, doesn't he? He says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Let us be doers of the word. Let us receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save us. And let us live in accordance with it. Let us be honest people. Focus more on your character than your reputation. Be the person that God wants you to be in all areas of your life. Thus you can please God and you can be a benefit to others. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear the truth. Believe the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And be buried with Him in baptism. And be raised to walk in newness of life. Take upon yourself the character of God Himself. And live for Him each and every day. And if you're here this morning, you've fallen away, you're not living as you should, or any other need that you may have, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.